Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
The hostages are back. The hostages are back. It is a good feeling. Isn't that nice to say? You know, I just said the hostage. First time I said the hostages are back. My personality actually is all about stopping wars, and it seems to work.
You know, I've had my criticism over the years of Trump and, you know, his behavior, et cetera. But I genuinely believe that he wants to stop the killing of thousands, tens of thousands, if not millions of people across the planet right now in these ridiculous wars. And it looked like this is a big step toward that. Paul Morrow is with us this afternoon, Fox News contributor, retired NYPD inspector. He's the founder of the opsdesk.org. What a day, Paul Morrow. A huge day. That was a very jubilant President Trump earlier today.
You know, the Middle East, and first of all, thank you for having me. The Middle East has a way of dampening spirits and exploding hope and ambition. But I think this time we may actually be seeing the real deal. Now, look, let's manage expectations. There are plenty of hurdles still to overcome. But what Trump very rarely gets credit for is diplomacy. And his diplomacy is very realpolitik, which is he doesn't expect soaring rhetoric and high-minded ideals to necessarily move things on the ground. He understands that the art of diplomacy is reaching people's self-interest. And in this case, I haven't seen anything like this since the original Desert Shield under Bush and with Jim Baker going around the world to put together that coalition. The coalition that he managed to put together here, appealing to their self-interest, and I'm talking about places like Turkey and Egypt, all of these places, getting them on board to isolate Hamas is historic. And that's why I think this one has a shot.
How about Tony Blinken trying to take claim for this and President Biden? Do you see that?
I did. There are some things that are so laughable.
I know.
They probably don't really require comment. This is one of them. Blinken, I think, is going to go down as a footnote. And I can't think of any major foreign policy initiative that he did that matters. And so forget him.
So, you know, it'll be interesting. I've gotten in this habit recently just because I know how, you know, different some of the coverage is on CNN versus Fox, et cetera. So in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's assassination, I started sampling. I leave here at 6 o'clock, Paul. I like to listen to Laura, but I've been sampling CNN a little more just to see what kind of nonsense they're spreading. And this might be an interesting night to see what the tone is, because they may be forced to say something nice about the foreign policy of this administration. I don't know. They'll find a way out of it, though, right?
Yeah, they will. Although you got to remember that even Hillary Clinton, who, if there is anybody whose aspirations were stepped on by the unexpected rise of Donald Trump, it's her. Even she had to give credit where it's due here. And let's just be clear. The real import of this is that it is the beginning. And if you can use this lever, let's remember why 7 October happened. It was that Hamas felt themselves becoming isolated because the Trump administration was very close to getting the Saudis under the Abraham Accords, recognizing a normalizing relationship with Israel. Right now, the biggest player that's under Abraham is the UAE. It's historic, but the Saudis had a toe in that water. If you can now use this, and I think that's where he's going, to get the Saudis in, you're likely going to get the Egyptians in after that or as part of that. And then the world's your oyster, because then you can get everybody surrounding Israel. You get Syria, you get Lebanon. All of a sudden, we are at a place that Israel has never, literally never been since its founding. Will there be acrimony? Will there be outbreaks? There will. You still got the West Bank and the issue of East Jerusalem. But the stabilization of getting all of those people to recognize, yes, Israel's here. We may not love it, but it's here and we recognize it. You know, my father, rest in peace, used to say, if only they would stop fighting and marry Arab resources, Arab oil, with Israeli know-how and business savvy and technical savvy. They got a very, very vibrant Silicon Valley in Israel. That common market would be a world-class player, and nobody there would need America. And if they can get out of their own way and do that, you're seeing the birth of an entire, I hate to say it, but a genuine new world order.
Wow, it'd be great if that could happen. You alluded to this a few moments ago. We've been around this enough to know that these things sometimes don't hold. And, you know, Hamas is going to be asked to demilitarize. I don't know what is the, you know, likely successor to lead the government. There's a lot of challenges, to your point, Paul, that though they still have. Let's talk a little American politics here. Letitia James apparently is going to be at a big rally tonight. Maybe you'll be there, too, for Zohran Mamdani in New York City. Her first appearance since she was indicted on these federal charges of bank fraud and making a false statement. So here's some of the things she said in the past about President Trump.
We'll never be afraid to challenge this illegitimate president.
You're going to definitely assume we're going to be a real pain in the
I look forward to going into the office of Attorney General every day, suing him, defending your rights, and then going home.
Now on her charges,
this is nothing more than a continuation of the president's desperate weaponization of our justice system. These charges are baseless. And the president's own public statements make clear that his only goal is political retribution at any cost.
Okay, Paul, so there's multiple angles on this one, as usual, as well. There's the political angle, there's the Trump connection and all this stuff and the accusations that she makes. And then there's the reality of whether or not these charges are legit and they can get a conviction. But let's start there, because you're always a good expert on this. On the charges that have been filed, the mortgage fraud, I've heard some people say, look, this might be tough to prove. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it depends on what charges they go with, and let's stay within the four corners of the indictment as it stands, because there's a very good chance at some point you're going to get a superseding indictment, which expands upon the current indictment. But as it stands right now, what it says, it's very simple. You don't have to be a lawyer to read this thing. It's entirely comprehensible. It says that she got the loan under the auspices, signing on the dotted line, notarizing, that the house was going to be a second home exclusively for her. That is to say, it was not going to be an investment property. She then installed a family member who paid her rent, reportedly her niece, and it was therefore an investment property. And here's where her trouble comes. On her tax returns, she claimed it as an investment property, and in fact took write-offs relative to repairs and upkeep for that property. By her own logic, this is internally inconsistent. You got a loan at a lower rate because it wasn't going to be an investment property, and then you claimed it on your taxes that it was an investment property. Which is it? Is it mortgage fraud or is it tax fraud? Either one of them is trouble for her. Seems to be that they went with the mortgage fraud and the lying to a federal agency. But let's remember something. There's this issue of whether or not she claimed it as a primary residence, which is what she had originally signed on, and under the power of attorney she put in. This is where it gets very legalistic. But bottom line is, the reason that's an issue is that's not here. That's not in the indictment. It says secondary home for you only, not a primary residence. So you got to say to yourself, why did DOJ decide to jettison the use of her claiming it as a primary residence? Because that is the biggest contradiction here. How could the Attorney General of New York claim a Virginia property as her primary? And my theory, and this is only a theory, but my theory on that is the following. If they went with that as a primary, then it implicates the bank and the loan officer. You're going to have to pay to the loan officer. You approved a federal loan to the New York State Attorney. So what that tells me is they flipped the bank. They flipped the loan officer. And they're going to have at least one very compelling, who probably was in the grand jury. Grand jury minutes are secret, so we don't know. But if it ever gets to trial, and I think it very well might,
There's one of your witnesses.
Yeah, look, that's a good theory.
Interesting.
I know it's just a theory, but I understand kind of the path you're going down. And then with her, with Mamdani, I think even at some point she said he was going to be third choice on her ballot. But obviously everyone's jumping on this bandwagon because it looks like it's going to happen in New York City, doesn't it, in a few weeks?
Yeah, it does. We'll go full socialist, you know, and he's doomed to fail. And, you know, normally I say, look, let's give the guy a chance. I did that with Eric Adams. But a lot of what he's talking about is blatantly illegal. Like, for instance, he's saying, I'm going to freeze all rents. He can't do that. He doesn't have that power. So, you know, he's making promises he literally cannot keep. That's going to become apparent very quickly. The landlords are going to drag him into court. He's going to lose. And, you know, you're going to already, right from the outset, he's setting himself up for failure. So never mind all the other stuff about defunding and all that. Supposedly he's had this come to Jesus moment where he realizes we do need police. Understand, this is a guy who has literally said, aside from seizing the means of production, all the other communistic things that he has said, he's literally said, we don't need police and we don't want or need prisons. The level of naivete encapsulated in this guy is completely off the charts. And as a result, all his old statements are going to come back to haunt him because none of them can work. He's not going to be able to do it. My prediction, he'll be a one-term president. He's too much even for this town. And let's hope we get somebody on the other side that can bring us back to relevance.
Yeah, I'm very easy to leave. I'm in the camp of burn it down. Let New York get what they deserve here and then see if you can rebuild
it from
there.
Yeah, because you don't
live here. Well, I know. But I'd like to visit. I'd like to visit again. It's been about 6 years. It's just sad. And I can't believe the amount of support that this guy is getting and the, you know, the lack of attention to some of the craziness. One last question, because I'm asking kind of a lot of the guests this. I'm going to have Sean Spicer on soon. What are your thoughts on the Barry Weiss CBS story? You think it results in any of the evening of the playing field with some of these networks, or are we getting our hopes up too much?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think she's got to put her helmet on. It's going to come down to her managerial ability and her toughness. And from what I hear, at the very least, she's quite tough.
Mm-hmm.
She was willing. She's got standards. She left, as she did the Times and started her own thing, which just took off. That kind of thing doesn't happen by accident. So if she can get in there and turn the place around a little bit, maybe I can actually, you know, make a deal with myself and watch that network again for something other than football. And maybe I can actually tune into something like 60 Minutes, which I've learned to completely distrust.
So have we.
But yeah, she is going to have – there is a deep state there that, boy, is she going to have to hammer away at that. I wish her Godspeed. She sent out one memo saying just, you know, essentially, tell me what you do so I can get a feel for the place. And the union stepped in and said, don't answer this. And they're all melting down.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
I'll show
over
you what
that?
She's up
yeah.
against.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They're so sensitive. It's going to – I hope people start walking off and, you know, take your little principled stand and go elsewhere. That's what I would say. Paul Morrow, always great to have you on. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Check out theopsdesk.org.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.